All right, Wednesday night Krug show. It is our night to stream with the great John Chapman. He is in the house. We got stuff to talk about. I think the Niners may have a serious, serious issue. And I'm not pulling punches. I actually believe this. We're going to talk about it. Niners and Chargers go tomorrow night. Preseason game number 2. We'll look ahead to that as well. Come aboard. Off and running Wednesday night on the Krug Show, brought to you by Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. Emeryville, Corte Madera, soon to open in Petaluma. Thank you to Damon and Mary, the owners of Pig and a Pickle, for being the title sponsors of the Krug Show. We really appreciate them and their restaurant. They do an amazing job. Also,
Larry, I got to let you know, the family came out, man. I took them. We had a great time. It was awesome. The food was incredible.
Yeah, you guys went out to Emeryville, huh?
We did. Yeah, we moved out here. And so, you know, the in-laws came out and stayed with us, which is a whole nother story. Went really well. But, yeah, first place we took them, I was like, dude, there's a barbecue place I've been wanting to check out. Yeah, I went there a long time ago before Larry and I knew each other. And man, we had a great time. The brisket.
What did you get? What did you get? Did you go brisket? Did you go?
I'm a Texan. Pork? If I see brisket, you got to go brisket. That is the true measuring stick of all barbecue, in my opinion.
Lean or marbled?
Man, I'm a marbled guy. I'm always a marbled. Come on, man. Look at me, Larry. Let's be honest.
That's body by marbled.
That's right, man. But yeah, go check it out, everybody. It was incredible. Everybody loved it.
That's awesome to hear, man. You know, Damon and Mary, great, great restaurant, Pig and a Pickle, Emeryville. They have a bigger spot in Corte Madera, and they've got a third location that will be opening in downtown Petaluma, and we'll do the grand opening whenever it opens. It's going to open soon. Also, thank you to Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. Prize Picks, super simple. You just pick more or less on player stats or choose game outcomes and then build your lineup. It's available in most states, including this one, California, and Prize Picks is a brand new offer. Sign up with code HMA, play your first $5 lineup, get $150 in bonus lineups if that first lineup is a winner. That's code HMA, play $5 or at least $5 and get $150 in bonus lineups if that $5 play is a winner. Also, thank you to Novato Chevrolet, NovatoChevrolet.com. I'm driving a Chevy Traverse. Thank you to NovatoChevrolet.com. for that. And of course, Gus is the owner. Really, really good guy. Great dealership. Family owned for 50 years right there in Central Novato. NovatoChevrolet.com. Thank you to Novato Chevrolet. Go buy one. But go buy a car from them. Tell them Krug sent you. If you're going to buy a car anyway, and you're going to buy a Chevy, and you're living in who knows where, Vallejo or wherever, Richmond, Sacramento, Sunnyvale, do me a favor. Drive over to Novato and buy your Chevrolet from Novato Chevrolet. check out their website. It's really, really cool. All right, we're off and running. We're going to get into the Niners, but first we have a news item out there. John Chapman has added travel opportunities to the Chapman traveling itinerary. Tell people, Johnny, if you go to all, not all, but most, if not all, of the Niner games, but you don't necessarily always go to every game, and you kind of release different plans for different weekends. And a lot of them are really, really cool. There's parties on Saturdays and Sundays, and thousands of people have traveled with you through the years. So tell people about the latest and greatest in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We're going to way too many road games, and we have our very first, we're doing a home tailgate. For the season opener, just a tailgate, not a day before a party for the Dolphins game. So go check that out. This is premium. All you can, everything included, top shelf, you name it. Come party with us. Families included. Everything is family atmosphere. Kids under 18 free to every event we ever host. That is so important. But if you do travel on the road, we're going to be in Australia, Mexico City, Atlanta, Dallas, Seattle. And we just added the Chargers for the Thursday night tailgate only, which, Larry, I know you just got back from L.A.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 49ers Rush Road Trip. Come party with us. Man, tickets are up right now, and they're as cheap as they're going to be. These events do have capacities and whatnot, so they do sell out. So if you are thinking about going, do not wait.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking this is I traveled last year to New Orleans, and then, of course, we traveled in the playoffs. Wasn't sure exactly where I wanted to go this year. Went to the joint practice, not going to Australia. But I was looking at it. I'm thinking, you know what? I want to go October 26th to Atlanta because I want to spend the next week there in Atlanta with my daughter and maybe get my wife to go. So I'm thinking the October 25th weekend in Atlanta, I'll do that one. And then I'm thinking November 15th against Dallas. And I'm a big A&M fan. And I'm thinking about going to A&M Tennessee on Saturday at Kyle Field and then turning around and going, driving the 3 hours to Dallas and catching Niners Cowboys at Jerry's World on that Sunday. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, and Kev's down for that. So we're maybe thinking College Station. Last year we went to LSU for LSU Florida, and it was absolutely awesome. Absolutely amazing. But I got to hit Kyle Field. I have not been to Kyle Field, and it's been renovated. It looks amazing. I'm a big A&M fan.
I'm wearing my Longhorn shirt today, by the way. So
are you?
I'm balancing it out over here.
I just ordered a new A&M shirt the other day that I was wearing on the stream. But, yes, A&M Tennessee and then Dallas Niners. Maybe a little twofer. A&M beats Tennessee and Niners beat Cowboys.
Perfect football towns, man. We'll be at both. You got to come tailgate with us. I know you're doing the college football thing, which is awesome. You got to come see us at the tailgate right before the game. I definitely will.
And Kev's fired up. And then I was thinking maybe hit your deal in mid-December and go down there on the Thursday night, maybe do what I kind of did today, except maybe spend the night. Maybe fly down in the morning, go see Niners Chargers, spend the night, come back the next morning, something like that.
I'm thinking about that as well.
And then of course the playoffs. So I'm hoping three or four trips this year, traveling with the Niner fans and the Niner faithful. There's nothing like it, dude. I mean, I really had never experienced it until recently, but man, going out on the road, that trip to New Orleans last year was epic. Absolutely epic. And some of the videos we did are some of the greatest videos we've ever done. So, traveling with the Niner fans is always very cool. So we're going to definitely do that. And if you guys get a chance to, John, so if they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do this? Hit you on Twitter, hit your website. Where do you want to direct people? Is there an 800 number? Or?
Yeah, that's right. There is 1-800 Chapman Rules. No, I'm just joking. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Operator standing by.
That's right. That's the place for tickets, and where every event is located is already loaded. Times, details, maps, you name it. If you need to reach out to us and you have a question, 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. We will get to it as quick as we can. Start of the season, we get pretty full. But, we're always here for you. So if you got questions, reach out there. Social media, we're all over the place. So we'll get to you. But, you want tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
There you go. All right, everybody hit like and subscribe as we're just getting rolling here on a Wednesday night. We called the stream 49ers might have a bigger issue than they realize. Now, I don't want to overreact. It's a joint practice. But the Niner defense specifically, the Niner offense is a veteran offense. It's an older unit led by Brock Purdy, but there's, Trent's older, Kittle's older. They've got some older players on offense, CMC, Mike Evans. But I think there's reason to believe that there's enough pedigree there and there's enough talent there, and Kyle with the scheme and Purdy with the way he's playing. Niners are going to have a 30 points a game type offense. They're going to be really good in the red zone. And they played pretty well against the Charger defense. They just didn't score in the red zone, and they struggled a little bit completing passes in the move the ball drill. It wasn't a great practice for the Niners offense. But the Niner defense, with no Mikel and no Bosa, they couldn't set the edge in the run game. They couldn't put any heat on Herbert. He sat back there and carved him up. Their speed at the wide receiver position then overwhelmed the Niners' safeties, who do not handle top-tier speed all that well. And the 49ers look like without a pass rush. I mean, if you said, what bothers you? What concerns you? What concerns me is that Titans game, Titus Leo was getting first quarter snaps. Titus Leo has been on four practice squads, and he's already been waived by the Niners since the game, and he had a sack in the game. So it just tells you, when you look at the 49ers depth chart and you look at what they have at the defensive end spot, it's just a lot of dudes. You know, I mean, it's like you got Mikel, but he's coming off an injury and he probably won't be there week one. You got Bosa, who's had three ACL tears. And at some point, you know, he's probably going to have a fourth. I mean, it just, you know, he seems somewhat injury prone. Then after that, you got Keon White, who's, you know, is he a defensive end? Is he a defensive tackle? He's 285, 290 pounds. You got Sam Aquinu, who does a lot of good things, but he's nothing special. And then you got Romello Height, but third round pick. He's awfully light. He's got some special traits, but he's very, very light. And then you got four guys that you just signed: Quentin Bell, Victor Dimakeji, Xavier Thomas, and Ogbo Okoronkwo. And you're playing Titus Leo in meaningful snaps in the preseason game one. So I don't know. I think they got a real issue. Today, Vita Vea re-signed with Tampa. He will not be coming to the Niners. But the Niners got to do something about their defensive front. They do not have enough, and there's a long way to go. And it just, they look woefully short on the defensive line. Like, so short that it may derail, you know, them this year. How do you see it?
You know, it's so funny because I was trying to gauge where Niner fans see just from a depth chart perspective. And I asked just a simple question: which position concerns you more, left guard or safety? The overwhelming answer, which was not a poll question, I just wanted to know between those two. Everybody in the comments just said rusher. Like, pass rush is at the forefront of a lot of 49ers fans' mind.
I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet Franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Rightfully so. 20 sacks last year, dead last, you know, in the NFL, one of the worst seasons ever. Now, the difference is, I think the answers are starting to return. One, Bosa was not out there. Keon White is back in pads. I think that's huge. He's going to be a starting defensive end until Mikel comes back, which Mikel will come back. Romello, and a lot of the clips, you were down there, Nel Segundo, a lot of would-be sacks. So that is promising to start to see. You didn't see a lot of that in the very first preseason game. So that's huge. But Oso Digizua, he is a guy that changes everything.
Yeah.
And then the addition of Raheem Morris, he is a manufacturer of pressure. That is, Robert Saleh has never been that. And you can go look at the sack numbers for Robert Saleh throughout his entire career as a DC or head coach. That 2019 season was kind of the anomaly whenever he had, you know, Murderers Row over there. But Raheem Morris is a person that can manufacture. How much are you going to do that in joint practices? You're not taking the quarterback to the ground, whatever else. I think they want to see what this is going to look like early in the September before they make any drastic changes, Larry. I want them to bolster it. I want them to add to it. But I think it's going to be a lot of the back end guys that we're seeing now with Dimakeji and players like that, where it's just, man, let's see. Let's just see what we got. Perhaps the interior can help and blitzing can help and the fever backer can help. And man, they're blitzing those nickel and corners and safeties like crazy. So again, you're adapting the aggression level and going after the quarterback, not necessarily with talent, but with scheme. I do not anticipate the Niners being around 20 sacks this year. I think they're going to just drastically outperform that. Very low bar, I know. But I think that's why you go get Raheem Morris. That's why you trade for Osa. That's why you spend another third on Romello, which is going to be a slow developing progress, but showed some promising things in the joint practice. So, yes, it's a concern, but Bosa comes back. Mikel comes back. Keon White's back already. I think they're excited for what they will have, but still not going to be a top five or even top 10 pass rush unit.
Concerns me that this thing could, you know, I mean, I did a deep dive the other day on defensive ends that could become available. And, you know, it's a very lengthy list. And it's like, you know, there's some big names on here. Kayvon Thibodeau, Max Crosby, Josh Sweat, and Baron Browning in Arizona, but they're in the division. Alex Highsmith from Pittsburgh. Maybe Leiatu Latu from Indianapolis if they fell out of things. You know, we'll see. Caden Curry, the Ohio State defensive end, has been a really nice find for the Colts in the preseason. He's looked good, and so has George Gums, the Florida kid. So they got two young defensive ends there, and who knows? I don't know. You know, they also have Michael Clemens, and they've got guys that the 49ers could definitely use. But I'm looking at, you know, there's a number of teams around, you know, that the Niners will probably be looking at the deadline. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure it's going to be beauty in the eye of the beholder. There's, you know, who gets cut that they had a high grade on. You know, is there anybody real? Is there a difference maker out there they can get? Because to me, it's like the defense. People, the Niners are old. No, the Niners offense is old. The Niners defense is young. The average age of the 49er defense is like 26 years of age. It's one of the youngest defenses in the league. The question is, do they have enough pass rush to cover, you know, to cover up their coverage on the back end, you know? It's like, and can they play? We know Raheem's going to blitz more. And when you blitz, that means you're going to play more man. Does that mean that the Niners secondary gets roasted because they can't cover man to man? Or does that
saw mean, that in the joint practices, right?
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't speak. I mean, it's all the biggest factor in the year ahead is when you get into games against Stafford and Darnold, and you get into key second half possessions, can you put heat on those guys and move them off the spot with four? You know, rushing with four. You have to be able to rush with four. You can't get it done sending a fifth guy and a sixth guy and just crossing your fingers that Stafford, you know, 38-year-old Stafford or Darnold, who's well coached at this point and pretty veteran in himself, that they're not going to be able to find the open guy. They are going to be able to find the open guy, and it's going to be a rough situation for the 49ers. So can they get it done with four? And then if they can't get it done with four, you know, Shanahan made it seem like some people think that going from Saleh to Raheem is a major downgrade. I don't know if I would see it that way. And I don't think Shanahan sees it that way. I don't think Saleh's, you know, Bob Saleh is not Buddy Ryan. All right. He's not Bud Carson. He's not Bill Belichick. He's not like one of the greatest defensive minds of all time. You know, it's like he was pretty ordinary, and he was on his way getting fired until they drafted Nick Bosa. People forget that. Then they drafted Nick Bosa. They had a lot more pass rush, and suddenly, you know, he's a genius. And I like him, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's the greatest defensive coach that ever lived, and people make it sound like he is. So how do you see Saleh to Raheem?
Awesome question, first off. And I don't think enough people are talking about this. Robert Saleh is a great DC. He's very, very good. What Robert Saleh is best at is simplicity up front and beating quarterbacks that he should beat. Like, we bet all the time. And so we made a lot of money betting on Robert Saleh. Whenever he's played against a young, inexperienced quarterback, he does the job consistently well. His defenses do. Now, anytime Robert Saleh plays against one of the top-notch play callers, McVay, Kevin O'Connell, Cohen down in, you know, Florida, like, dude gets taken to the woodshed. You look at the top games last year, Ben Johnson, like, whenever you're playing a top-tier quarterback and a top-tier play caller that is advanced, Robert Saleh is always behind the eight ball. Always. That is not true with Raheem Morris. If you want to make the argument that Robert Saleh is a better DC than Raheem Morris, that can be made. He's had more top 10 defenses per year and rankings and all that stuff. That's cool. Raheem Morris is like a junk ball pitcher. You're a Red Sox guy, man. Like, yeah. You don't know what you're going to get. So it's a lot more just, man, he's coming for you. It's a little unorthodox, and it is very unprecedented. It's not as extreme as what you see with Brian Flores in Minnesota, but he is a guy that goes after you. And the five-man fronts and the fever backer and the blitzers and all that stuff. So you get a little bit more variance because when you blitz, as you said, man, you get toast on the back end. So with Raheem Morris, and this is a big reason why it didn't work out for him as a head coach, you lose games that you should not lose. Because if the quarterback can diagnose that the blitz is coming and he hits you on a hot route, man, you're giving up big swings, positives and negatives. So Raheem Morris against quality play callers, I'll take him 10 out of 10. Robert Saleh, I'll take him against the inexperienced play caller and inexperienced quarterback 10 out of 10 times. So they both have their pros and cons, but if the 49ers are competing, right, where have they fallen short? Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, right? McVay, you talk about Kevin O'Connell. He toasts everybody whenever he has a decent quarterback. Like, Raheem Morris is built for that. You're going to lose a couple more and give up some 30 burgers to some teams that you probably aren't used to giving that up. D'Amico Ryan's very, very consistent as that as well. But Raheem Morris is at his best versus top-tier play callers. That is the main difference, and that's what I think 49er fans want to see. I think that's what Kyle wants to see. Can we put up quality defense against some of these up top-tier quarterbacks and play callers, especially the division?
Well, and I think Raheem's also kind of known as a guy who can build positive culture with young players. He gets them to play hard. I asked Kasarik, and I can already tell why players play so hard for this guy because he really builds up a lot of them with a lot of confidence, and he builds their trust. And he's high energy, and he's very pro player. What I also like is that he's done it with a 3-4. He's done it with a 4-3. He'll play to his talent. I mean, that's what true coaching is. It's like my scheme. Well, what's his scheme? Because he runs 3-4. He runs 4-3. He runs five man fronts. I think they needed to mix it up. They needed to be more multiple on the front end and on the back end. They had gotten very predictable. I mean, the same people that are saying, oh, Raheem's a downgrade from Saleh, were saying that, Saleh was too vanilla and didn't try enough last year. And, I think Saleh's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. But I think they're very comparable. I really do. I think you could make an argument that Saleh's better based on some of the results, but then you could also make an argument that Raheem's more adaptable. Robert Saleh's, would you rather see them go with the wide nine and a lot of zone behind it? Or would you rather see them go with, variable fronts? It's wide nine as a base, but here come more five man, that five man surface look. And you're looking at more like 5-2 looks. And, it's like a little bit more multiple on the back end. You're sending more pressure. You're a little bit more hard to gauge. You're playing more man coverage. I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, Shanahan made it seem like they needed the change. Of course, the change was predicated on Saleh, getting hired away. So they would have stayed with Saleh, I think, happily if he had stuck around. Instead, he gets the Titans gig and they move over to Raheem. I don't know if it's an upgrade, but I don't think it's much of a downgrade. Let's say that.
Yeah. My least favorite thing in the Robert Saleh first tenure and second tenure, I go to almost all the games, is watching the defense and offense break their huddles. And within half of a count, I can tell you exactly what the coverage is. There's very little diagnosing. It is paint by numbers. This is what we're doing. And it's just so clear. I'm like, oh, well, here we go. They're going to motion their slot across. That's going to force our safety. Now we have our non-coverage safety on the back end in the cover three. And what do you know? Here's a tight end up the seam route. Like, it was just like against McVay, you just knew exactly what it was. And so you do not get that. And you have already seen at training camp and joint practices in the preseason game, there is movement all over the place. And so the easy diagnosing, all that stuff, that's gone by the wayside. I'm excited about that.
You know, about, you know, one thing I don't know if we're going to see or not. It's something funny. You talk about a couple things in a couple different streams and people are like, you're on a campaign to move this guy or you're on a No, but I'm looking at the Niners and I'm looking at their depth chart and they're signing just dudes off the street to play defensive end. And they have really good depth at defensive tackle. And I'm looking at James Thompson, the way he's playing. I'm thinking, man, this guy's got to be on the team. But then I don't know if there's a spot for him. And then what about Bryson Easton? He needs to be on the team. Is there a spot for him? But what about Grayson Halton? He needs to be on the team. Well, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a spot for him. But what about C.J. West? And then you also added Oso Digizua. And then you still got Alfred Collins. And I'm looking at this thing going, you don't have, you just have guys that, you know, nobody's even heard of off the edge. And you've got, you know, you're eight deep. They just re-signed Evan Anderson. You know, when they re-signed Evan Anderson, I got to be honest, John, I think my first thought was, I wonder if they're on the verge of trading, you know, either C.J. West or maybe Alfred Collins. And I don't know that Alfred Collins or C.J. West fit Raheem, though Raheem did say he thought West was just a run plugger, and then he realized he has pass rush. But he may have just realized that Alfred Collins is not giving you much. And now, obviously, there was talk about Vita Vea. Vita Vea re-signed with Tampa. He will not be coming here. But I'll tell you, the move that I would love to see them make is offer Alfred Collins to the Titans for, you know, Oladejo. I mean, Oladejo is exactly the piece that the 49ers need to have on that defensive front. A guy who's a linebacker, but also can be a pass rusher who can make a difference off the edge. And they're really deep at defensive tackle. You know, I'm not sure how they feel about Nick Martin either, but I mean, Bob Sala had both those guys here. How about Nick Martin and Alfred Collins for Oladejo? Or how about Alfred Collins and a pick for Oladejo? I don't think Oladejo, he's a linebacker who was a 3-4 outside linebacker. He's now on a team that runs a 4-3 and he didn't start. He's not starting, but he's still got talent. You could see it in that game. I would try to, if I were the Niners, I'd be trying to call Borgonzi and seeing what it would take to get Oladejo, and I'd be offering Alfred Collins to them. And maybe,
well, what's crazy too is they traded away Tavondre Sweat, right? As soon as Sala landed there, because the switch to the 3-4 to the 4-3, like you talked about,
right,
Sweat was the guy that started in front of Collins, you know, 2 years before it was his turn. And so, yeah, they do need help at defensive tackle. They traded for Jermaine Johnson, so they do have the excess at defensive end. The Niners met with Oladejo, I think, like 5 times in the draft. Like, they love that dude. And so,
yeah, I mean, to me, that seems like it would work. I mean, that's the kind of move. If I was John Lynch, that's the kind of move I would want to make. I feel like I have defensive tackle depth. I can go with Easton. I can go with Thompson. I can go with Halton. Valdez has gotten even better, I think, this summer. And you could move Alfred Collins. You could move C.J. West if there was a team that was willing to give you, you know, a piece and you need an edge piece. I mean, I think they got to consider all options. The other one that's, you know, and I brought it up to Raheem Morris about 10 days ago. I'm like, what about Leonard Floyd? He played with you last year in Atlanta. He played with you with the Rams. Obviously, you have a role that he fills inside your defense. And he said, hey, man, I love Leonard as a player. I love Leonard as a person. It sounded like he may want some more money than the Niners are willing to throw. The Niners know what they have or know what he is because they've had him. But would you, I could see, I mean, if they can't make a significant trade, why not sign him? They need more help outside rush wise.
They cut Leonard Floyd 2 years ago or last year. The Niners paid him to play for Raheem Morris and the Falcons last year. He was still on the Niners payroll from his first contract whenever they let him go. Like, so I don't know. I mean, the fact that they cut him kind of probably hurts the pride a little bit. So it's like, hey, if you want to bring me back, you got to pay now, which they paid him a ridiculous amount anyway. man, I look at the defensive end room. I don't want drastic changes for aging players. If you had another injury, then I'd be like, all right, let's get Leonard Floyd in here. I just, Leonard Floyd is an imperfect answer solution to, like, he just gets so many of those late trash kind of sacks. They're still sacks, and he still does that. But, man, his tape has just descended, I think, for probably about 3 years in a row. But if you sign him and you put him out there, he's still going to get 5 to 6 sacks. He's going to now bring with it lots and lots of negative plays. I mean, like, literally just quitting on plays. I remember watching him with the Niners. Like, dude literally would just quit if he got blocked. Like, he just would stop. But then other times he'll run down a screen. It's just like he just takes his play. So I'm not the biggest Leonard Floyd at this point in his career. If you're in dire straits, which I don't think they're at now, because, again, you're getting a lot of those guys back. But it makes a lot of sense. I hated the way he left this team. I hated the way he played those last few games in the 49ers uniform. Still leaves a bad taste in my mouth, but I get it. You need help, and it's one of the most premium positions in the NFL. And right now I'm looking at the roster. Like, if Mikael Williams stays on the PUP, it is very probable that you keep 4 defensive ends on the initial 53-man roster. Like, and then you're going to call somebody up, whether that's Okonkwo or Diamond Cagey, or you sign somebody else probably that gets cut off another team. But, like, you know, going back to your question about, you got all these defensive tackles. It would not shock me for them to keep 7 defensive tackles on their initial 53 and only 4 defensive ends, then manipulate the roster post that with elevations from the practice squad, picking up somebody off the 53. But I like, they always keep 11 defensive linemen, and it's, you know, 5 DNs, 6 DNs, vice versa, a defensive tackle. Like, I could see 7 defensive tackles kept and only 4 defensive ends with Mikael Williams on PUP, which he won't count.
Wouldn't mind seeing Sebastian Valdez kept as a defensive end. I mean, his motor is just so great. If you can't find anybody, I'm going to give you a couple names of guys that I've got my eye on that. You know, Dallas just picked up Von Miller, okay? Dallas doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, there's just no doubt. I mean, they picked up Quinnen Williams, and they had Kenny Clark, and then they traded Oso Digizua, who's been one of the best 49ers all summer, to the Niners for a pick, a day 2 pick. I mean, I thought that was a great move by the 49ers. Now they've signed Von Miller, because he was the shiny object, and, you know, he vowed that he could get 9 sacks. They have Sam Williams. They have Tyrus Wheat. They have Charles Snowden, and they have Marist Lufau from Notre Dame. They're all edge rush guys. Sam Williams, I loved him at Ole Miss. He's had some knee problems, but I would be looking to see who Dallas cuts. I'd keep my eye on that. I'm really looking at a couple other guys as well. Carolina's got a defensive end named Thomas Inkoom. Really kind of like Inkoom. I think he could help. Tampa Bay,
Central Michigan,
or yeah, Western
Michigan.
Yeah, I
remember. He was some fun tape. He had a great first step.
6'2", 6'3", 260, real good rush. I like Michael Heldman, who played at University of Minnesota, and he's with the Saints. I like Mo Kamara, who played at Colorado State.
He's
with Tampa right now. He was with Miami on their practice squad.
He's Sam O.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'1", 260, but he comes flying off the edge. He kind of reminds me of that guy Golden, who used to play for Arizona. Marcus Golden?
Yeah.
Mo Kamara reminds me of him. I like Javon Solomon from Buffalo. I think he could be out there. I love Elijah Ponder, who played at Cal Poly and is now playing for the Patriots. And the Patriots have a deep room there. I mean, there's some interesting guys, Braden Swinson, but Elijah Ponder is probably my favorite of that group. Tyreek Sapp, who played at Florida, he's with the Browns. So it's not an endlessly deep list, but those guys kind of stand out to me as the best options out there. I mean, Leatu Latu would be amazing if the Colts were willing to trade him. But, I mean, I guess if I were the 49ers, if the Colts didn't like Anthony Richardson and didn't want to go with Riley Leonard and called the Niners and said, we want Curtis Rourke, if I'm John Lynch, I'll say, hey, I'll give you Curtis Rourke, But I'll throw in a draft choice, but I want Latu. I want Latu.
That probably cost a second, right?
Curtis Rourke a second for sure. For sure. Maybe a first. I mean, he was a first and he's young, but that is a difference making edge. And, you know, I'll tell you, I would want Michael Clemens and Latu if I could have them, because I really think the 49ers need a couple of guys. I don't know that they need one. They need maybe two. But they got to take a look. I know it's easy to be like, get Crosby, get Josh Sweat, get Thibodeau, get Highsmith, get Latu. But they got to really get in the bushes there and dig deep with their pro personnel guys and figure out who has looked really good this summer across the league and who is not going to make the team. And they're going to have to poach somebody, because there'll be good players cut and players that are trying to transition to other teams' practice squads. But, you know, I mean, they're going to have to do something, because their pass rush, I think, it's the kind of pass rush that could rival what they did last year, and that would just be a disaster. 20 sacks last year.
Got to figure something out, and I think they're going to be better, but still. And that's one of the things I want to watch. Like, you know, you start looking at the second preseason game, which takes place tomorrow, super pumped about. Like, can somebody in the defensive end spot step up? I doubt we'll see Keon White, as he just started practicing. But, man, can somebody else solidify and show? We know what Sam O is. I love Sam O. Sam O is a number four, number five defensive end at best. He started majority of the season last year. But, like, you know what he is. Can Romello Height continue to ascend? Very, very slow start. But, man, he was beating those tackles against the Chargers in the joint practice pretty consistent. Like, he was showing the burst. Can that continue? Can you get pressure from up the middle? Is there going to be some blitzing off the edge? Those things. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see.
Let's do this. We're going to put ourselves in the corner. Nobody puts us in the corner. And we will do our prize picks lineup right here. We'll put that on the screen and then move this over right here. And then we'll do this, put our different little backdrop up there. Look at that. Look how beautiful that is. Prize Picks. All right. We are brought to you by Prize Picks. Krug Show listeners, Prize Picks is a brand new offer. They're the number one sports picks app. It's incredibly easy. Just pick more or less on player stats. Lock in your lineup and you're good to go. If you'd rather pick teams, you can do that now too. Pick the winner, the spread, or the total of your favorite games and fights. Here is the brand new offer. New users who play their $5 lineup, their first $5 lineup, will get $150 in bonus lineups if that first lineup wins. So if you win your first lineup, you're getting $150 free bucks. All right, let's take a look at some of these season totals. First thought is less on Puka Nacua, 8 receiving touchdowns. That one stands out.
What do you think of Dak in 4,000, like more or less?
Probably
more.
I like them more.
Probably, I mean, they're more, just, yeah. They throw the ball, man. That's just what they're going to do.
I also think less on Bijan, because I think he's going to be, you know, this is what happens when you have bad teams. I've heard that Atlanta may try to tank for Arch. And, ooh, you know, they've got quarterback issues. Is it Tua? They just don't look very good. And then Bijan's all going to fall down on Bijan, and everybody every week is going to be like, we just need to take away Bijan. Take away Bijan. Take away Bijan. Everybody's going to really, you know, have that game plan. And I just think that he either gets beat up or gets hurt or just is ineffective. 1150.5 rush yards. I'll go less because I think they're going to pass a lot. I think they're going to lose a lot. And I think he's going to get beat up. Bad football is painful football. And then I'm going to go, what else? I think I'm going to go with Will Anderson more than 11.7 sacks. So basically you just have to have 12. If you get, or 11, yeah, 11, 12 sacks goes over. And that's a big number, but Will Anderson is tremendous. I mean, that guy looks like he's going to get us 3 sacks a night. I mean, he just looks so good. So we'll submit our lineup and we'll see. It takes a second. There we go. Now we'll view our lineup. So we got a 4-pick power play. $5 pays 50. We're going Puka Nacua less than 8 receiving touchdowns. Dak Prescott more than 4,024 pass yards. Bijan Robinson less than 1,150 rush yards. And Will Anderson more than 11.7 sacks. So he needs 12. So winner, winner. If we hit it, we're big winners. Thank you to Prize Picks. $5 pays us 50. Thank you to Prize Picks for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. Now we'll move Johnny and I back up there and we'll move that out of the way. All right. One other thought before we move on. Thank you to West Coast Diesels. We're promoting the West Coast Diesels 10th annual event. It's Saturday, December 12th. Gates open at 10 a.m. It's a 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. event at the Chris Beck Arena at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds on Bennett Valley Road in Santa Rosa. You're saying, well, what is this exactly, Krug? It's the biggest diesel truck celebration in Sonoma County, featuring tractor pulls, show and shine, dirt drags, dyno, loudest exhaust competition, and so much more. Family-friendly atmosphere, great fun for the kids. $30 general admission if you want to enter a vehicle into the show and shine. Kids 5 and under are free. Tickets are available now at both West Coast Diesel locations on Airway Drive and Sebastopol Road. Or you can purchase at the gate on the date of the event, which is September 12th, 2026. If you want more information, and I know you do, 707-595-3026 is their number. WestCoastDiesels.com on the web. And you can go to West Coast Diesel /pages/events if you want to go right to the page that tells you all the details about what they're doing. And so we're really happy to promote that. Also, thank you to Sharp Corners, Sports Cards and Collectibles. Call Anthony Catania. He's at 831-521-5264. Or connect with him on Instagram, Sharp Corners 831 on the gram. They've got another trade night coming up in October. Really excited for that. And, of course, they're offering free shipping to anybody, any Krug Show fan who orders anything. They'll ship it anywhere in the continental U.S., and they'll pay the shipping if you're a Krug Show fan. So check that out. And also thank you to Novato Chevrolet. Go see Adam Rogers. He's the best sales guy there is. He'll take great care of you and give you a screaming deal. And tell him that Krug sent you. When I buy a Chevrolet, I buy it from Novato Chevrolet, and their website is the best way to connect with them. NovatoChevrolet.com on the web. All right. Couple things. What are you looking forward to seeing tomorrow night during Niners Chargers? What do you want to see tomorrow night? It sounds like we're going to see the regulars, including Brock Purdy. How much exactly is hard to say.
I think the person that has the most to gain and could probably make the largest impact for the 49ers is rookie number 74, Carver Willis. I think it was probably one of the worst, not Carver Willis, but Robert Jones, I thought was god awful. Like, I was like, man, this guy might retire. It was so bad. The first preseason game, they moved him to right guard, and now he's like bouncing all. Can Carver Willis step up and give something to see in pass protection? Carver Willis run blocking, incredible. A+. He had like a 90 something grade from PFF. Can the pass pro, can he learn to anchor? Can he stop getting off balance? And so can you show something, some type of development there in pass pro? Because right now you just can't play him. And I understand he's great in the run game, but they need somebody. Now, Connor Colby, he had two major mishaps. The rest of the tape was relatively good. I think Connor Colby's the leader in the clubhouse right now. Can he eliminate some of those huge just snafus where he just doesn't pick up the stunt, doesn't redirect, and lets a free blitzer come through the B gap or A gap? Can't do that. So the left guard spot is huge, but Carver Willis, I think, has the most to prove that would bring the most upside to helping the 49ers. Because you haven't had a guard, especially a left guard, that can run block like Carver Willis can in a while. It's been a minute. And so can he step up and seize that role? And, you know, I'll go with the rookies on the defensive side. Can Jaden Duggar continue to show, you know, that he's got these instincts? My favorite defensive play last week was Jaden Duggar. You see 53 out there lined up. He calls the puller. He calls the guard, the uncovered guard. He goes, he's pulling. And he calls it. They snap the ball. He pulls. And it was just like, dude, the lights are on. And we never saw D winners do that. Yeah, I haven't seen Nick Martin do that for sure. But it was just like, holy cow. This guy's calling out, pulling linemen. Like, before the snap, can the awareness and football IQ continue to show? He didn't play perfect, but damn, he played well. And so that battle between Nick Martin, you know, the sophomore player, and Jaden Duggar for that Sam Fever back or whatever you want to call it, that is a battle. I'm pumped. 45-53. I want to see that battle go all night.
You know, I want to see the Niners show that they can put some heat on Herbert and cover their receivers. You know, I want to see the Niners cover. Niner safeties, I want to see them cover. Niner corners, I want to see them make plays on the ball. I want to see better pass rush. And I'd like to see more team speed and a little bit more, you know, secure tackling. You know, last week, Tyjae Spears had a couple runs where he was corralled, but nobody wrapped. And then all of a sudden, he's still running. And, you know, it happened more times than I wanted to see. It happened at least a couple times. I want to see better tackling. I want to see them wrap at the ball. I'd like to see Larry Wirth, who I thought was terrific last week. He had a sack. He was flying. He had a couple plays in practice this week where he's covering the tight end, and he's just snuffing out the tight end like a candle. And this is a Charger team that has a really good tight end. Aronde Gadsden is a good tight end who's very fast, very talented. I'd like to see Larry Wirth, you know, defending tight ends and Wirth and Duggar and Martin. I want to see those three guys fly around and make plays.
Yeah, and man, shout out to Larry Wirth. Played 13 plays. It was one of the highest impact players. It's such a small sample size. I think a lot of those guys, you'll see a lot more reps when you get to the third preseason game. I would like to see Larry Wirth get about 20 snaps this game, then probably about 30 snaps in that third preseason game. But yeah, can he show he belongs? He's passed every test. Larry Wirth is a guy, wasn't a draft pick, wasn't a preferred free agent. He was a rookie tryout player.
Right.
Came in, showed he belonged. They kicked another safety off the team, and he just keeps ascending. And so, man, like the meritocracy and the message that brings to the locker room when you see 47 Larry Wirth the third ascend the depth chart is, dude, no spot is safe. You better freaking earn it. Like, that is so healthy for the atmosphere of you got to go out there and play. And he is demanding more playing time. I hope they give it to him this game because, man, the sky's the limit. You talk about covering, man. He's a safety. Almost all linebackers are converted safeties nowadays. But, yeah, 47's worth the price of admission. He's fun, man. And for guys like us, Larry, that fall in love with these back into the roster, like, guys – the preseason is so badass. I love these games because this is the last time we get to see some of them. And seriously, I'm pumped, man.
Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday for these guys. You know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's like, you know, this is the biggest moment of their life. Give me a quick thought on Rourke versus Mac Jones. I don't know if we're going to see Rourke. It doesn't sound like it. We're going to see Purdy. We're going to see Mac Jones. Most likely we'll see Adrian Martinez. Rourke looked really good. I expected him to look good. Now the question is, what do you do about it? Do you keep him? Do you keep three quarterbacks? Do you keep two and keep him and trade Mac? Do you keep two and trade him? And then there's this big question of, like, how does the NFL view Mac Jones's value versus Curtis Rourke's value? Who do you think would cost more to acquire, Curtis Rourke or Mac Jones?
Oh, Mac Jones by a substantial amount. I would argue Mac Jones is the best backup quarterback in the NFL. Now, the thing you talk about, like,
but value, because one guy's got a rookie contract and you own him contractually for a few years. The other guy's a free agent at the end of the year, and you're going to have to pay him if you want to, you know, probably a pretty good king's ransom. So there's, you have like more control over Rourke into the future.
Correct. And so do you think that he could take that step up? Now, the NFL values Shanahan quarterbacks and running backs like nobody's business. If you are a quarterback or running back and you get a chance to play for Kyle Shanahan, your future, you're going to be just fine. Like, Trey Sermon is still out in the NFL somehow. Like, that is still, I think you went on IR today, actually.
Corey Kiner's out there, I believe.
Corey Kiner's that, like, dude, if you play for Kyle Shanahan quarterback, Nick Mullen's still out there. You know what I mean? Like, I would argue to get those quarterbacks away from the 49ers roster, it probably cost a high-end second to get Mac Jones, probably cost a high-end fifth to get Curtis Rourke, maybe a sixth. But I think you keep three because Curtis Rourke, in his very first game back from almost 2 years, a full year and a half, man, he looked good. Still holding on the ball too long, not making the reads as fast as you want, but you see it. The light is on. The accuracy is on. The athleticism was way better than, you know, what we saw play with the, you know, he played at Indiana in the playoffs with that torn ACL, just freaking warrior, but he was a statue. And so it's nice to see some of the athleticism return. Nobody's confusing him with Adrian Martinez, number four, who is an actual athlete. And I would say Curtis Rourke has more to gain to, you know, tomorrow, even though he's not playing. If Adrian Martinez goes out there and doesn't light the game up, Curtis Rourke, it's kind of like, all right, I think that this is kind of decided, the quarterback three spot. But Adrian Martinez has been in the system for a couple years now, and he's put up some good quality tape as well. But yeah, I obviously Max worth way more, even though you'd have to pay him. I think they keep three, Larry. I really, really do. This was the whole plan when you drafted him in the seventh round, knowing he needed to have ACL surgery. Why abandon that now? Because he's looked good. I think you keep all three.
Wow. I'm going to say I would trade Rourke. I would trade Rourke. I like Mac. And I
what would
stay
you
with
take?
It.
What's the price? Pick
I need
wise,
a defensive like. End. I need a defensive end. Like I trade him to the Colts for Michael Clemens and a Deion Burks or something like that. You know,
I'd love Deion Burks.
I'd want something like that. Let's hit our supers and then we'll call it right here. They're not all supers. We got this one. Chug if Krug says Okoronkwo. What up? What up, Krug?
Coke Zero down the hatch.
Pig in a pickle. Big T says Larry's turning into Gloom and Doom channel. Sorry, bro. I'm going to deliver it straight no matter what. Olives says, any chance you do New York?
Ooh, no, we did that last year and had a great time, but it just doesn't work that weekend for me. So we will not be there.
Yeah, it's close to the holidays. 1257 says, just moved to Atlanta for a new job, looking to go to a Niner Atlanta game on my birthday. 1025, pricing out club seats. Any tips on getting the best price on tickets in y'all's experience? Buy early or wait a bit? Yeah, it's probably one or the other. If you're out there already, I think I would probably see how the season goes for the Falcons, because if there's not a lot of supply and demand and the Falcons are bad, you might be able to get tickets pretty reasonably. So I think I would wait on that one to see how
I believe in waiting. Unless it's a primetime holiday game, prices tend to drop. Yeah, I've done that and gotten into the Super Bowl. I've done that and gotten into the NFC Championship and saved a lot of money. I believe in waiting. Now, if you want club access and into, you know, all the fancy whatever, that's a little bit different story. But, man, I want to be at the 50-yard line, top section, drink a beer, having a good time. That's where I belong.
Tyler says, biggest offseason angles, O-line lacks depth and starters. Kalon Black over Washington Jr. was a reach and no easy veteran adds, i.e. Von Miller-Zeitler. I liked Washington too. He's had a really impressive preseason with the Raiders. They were totally different type players. I trust Kalon Black more than I trust Washington. Sunday says, hey, Lair, for Boomer's sake, please stop announcing the jewels next. Just say the names of the person and say thanks for the jewels. Gotcha. Okay.
Sounds that good. Awesome.
700 jewels for something weird. Larry's going to read that throws off the show's tempo and makes him look 90. I know. It's awful.
That is beautiful.
We got this one. Teet, thank you for the jewels.
Oh, perfect, man. That was impressive.
Big Tone. Kyle Posey thought that Lenore was to blame along with 27. Were they getting burnt or is it just constant communication busts? I just think the speed of Brendan Thompson and the Charger receivers with no pass rush just overwhelmed the Niners safeties. The Niners need a pass rush and they probably could use slower receivers. They're not great against the speed. That is going to do it for us. Thanks to John. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to our sponsors. Johnny, have a great night. Go Niners. Big game tomorrow. We'll be back streaming, talking about it in the future. And of course we love everybody. Thanks for jumping in tonight on the Krug Show. Johnny, always great to see you. We'll do it again.
Peace.
Peace to everybody. Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly.